Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Angela Butler. I am Angela Butler, of course, and our guest today is Mr. Louis L. Armstrong. So welcome to the show, Mr. Armstrong.
Hey there. How you doing?
All right. I'm doing fine. Louis Armstrong, people, is a motivational speaker, an author, and got so many things. There's so much that can be seen. He's a speaker, author, trainer, motivator. You can go to his website, www.lucas, that's L-U-C-A-S, Armstrong, A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G.net to find out more about him. All right, Mr. Armstrong, how's everything going?
It's going pretty good. I'm grateful to be on your show today to share my story with your audience.
Yes, yes. You are definitely an overcomer. God has really brought you a long way. I mean, you went through physical abuse, mental abuse. I mean, you went through so many things people may find it hard to believe that it happened to one person, but yet you overcame.
Yes.
You have overcome. You survived it. And that in itself is a miracle and a testimony.
It is. It is. And that's pretty much what I do. I love to inspire people, but the reason why I love to inspire people is because I know where I come from. I know if I can go through all what I've been through, and when I look at an individual and I say, hey, you can make it, I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart.
Yes, and you're young. You're a young man.
Yes, ma'am, 31.
31, oh, yes, you're a young man, like I was saying. So would you like to talk about the obstacles and adversity that you have overcome in your life?
Yes, yes, I sure will. First of all, like you said, my name is Lucas Armstrong, and I am an author, speaker. I'm educated. I got my degree from HBCU, which is called University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. And so those are little credentials about me. But the most important thing is that I love to help people. And the thing is, in the beginning, you know, my story kind of began the day I was born. That, you know, I was a premature child. I only weighed 1 pound coming to this world. But the thing that happened was that the doctors told my mom instantly, like, you know what, hey, your son is not going to, you know, we don't think your son is going to live to see the age of 3 years old. And they also threw her to the side, too, and said, because she, you know, after she got through having me, she had diabetes all of a sudden, so there's nothing they can do for her. So instantly, you know, we had to believe, or I would say my mom had to believe in another power, and which was God, that, you know what, that her baby son can live to have a, you know, a beautiful life, or at that moment to live to see the age of 3 years old. And so at that point, we're going through it as a family because, like I said, I only weighed 1 pound. And so their whole big thing was that, you know what, there's nothing we could do for him. But like she told me so many times, she was like, all of a sudden, this little baby starts to breathe on his own every day. And all of a sudden, I became a miracle child. So that was the first thing in life that I kind of remember. People saying I was the miracle child, but then I had to go back and ask mom, say, "Hey, mom, why am I the miracle child? Where did you get that from?" And so that's how the story began for me.
Okay, that's how you're beginning. I'm looking at your website, and I'm reading some of the quotes. And it says, your story is not your story, Lucas L. Armstrong.
Yes.
I see you have, your pain doesn't lead to humility. You have wasted your suffering. This is from Katrina Dockerval Klimmer. Am I right, Palmer?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I pronounced it right. Okay. And then you have, we are in the present, include who we were in the past, Fred Rogers. Okay, great. Some inspirational quotes. So besides being a preemie like my daughter was, that's what my baby was called. She was 3 pounds. What else have you overcome? I've read that you overcome verbal and physical abuse.
Yes, yes. Well, I went through that with my dad, a point in my life where my parents were divorced, and so me and my brother had to stay with my dad. So at that period of my life, I'm going through the physical abuse, I'm going through verbal abuse, and I'm also going through mental abuse. Now, when people say mental abuse, it's basically when you put physical and verbal together, it messes with your mental mind. And so when I say I went through things like, you know, I know how I feel to be, as they would call it, slapped down or being hit on with different objects and things like that. I experienced all that. And then after that, you know, I kind of grew up and got a little bit older, and I kind of like, you know, I became a grown man. Well, I became a young man at that point in my life, but I had to overcome that part in my life because mentally it messed with me for a long time until I had to understand that everything is a generation curse, and some curses got to be broken.
Okay, I've heard that before. Could you explain it to the listening audience?
Basically what it is my dad, my granddad and my dad, the way my granddad treated my dad for his, you know, physical abuse, so he had to see something at an early age for him to revert back to that when he got older. And so that's basically what a generation curse is. It just passed down from your family, your family members to family members, and then up to you. And so that's basically what a generation curse is. And me as a young man, my goal was always to stop the generation curse. If it was mentally, if it was not abusing my kids, or even just at a point where I get in my life where, you know, I become successful in a way that I don't have to act like my dad act like my dad was acting at that age, at the time of his life. And so that's all that is. And that's basically through me, through self-development, through reading the books, through listening to other motivational speakers and things like that, that those voices in my head kind of changed my life at an early age. And when I say early age, even though I'm 31 years old, at an early age, we're talking about in my early 20s where I had a chance to listen to Les Brown, the Johnny Wimbreys, the Jim Rohns, the Tony Robbins. These people with voices in my head that changed my life early. And everything they were talking about was positive. And just to interrupt my mindset of what I had been through in my past, it really helped me as I got older. And it really helped me in crafting my message. So when I do tell my story to people, I let them know that, hey, you know what? Even though I went through what I went through, I did have some help on the other side. First of all, it was God. There's no one to compare to him, but it also was people here on the physical earth, whereas, like I say, the other motivational speakers, all the other books I read, all of the speakers that I had listened to in the past.
So you're saying you went through mental abuse, but the voices that you heard, you replaced them with positive voices and words, such as
yes.
Mr. Les Armstrong, because I believe Mr. Les Armstrong was told that he was slow, that he would never be able to learn much in school. And look, and now
right.
He's a millionaire and speaks all over the world.
Right, Mr. Les Brown, yes. And he's one of my mentors because, you know, in life when we get older, you know, even yourself, you've been an actress and things like that, it's someone that you had to model. And so you look to that person because they're where you want to be in life. And so we modeled them. And Les Brown was one of the people that I modeled at an early age, because, you know, I was like, you know, I want to do what he's doing. I want to say the things he's saying. I want to impact people like he's doing. And so he was a model for me at a young age.
Yes, I understand that. I had first learned about Mr. Les Brown back in, I believe, 1996 or 1997, before I became a diabetic. Very inspirational and powerful motivational speaker and author. So you have witnessed other experiences, such as jubilation and surviving nearly fatal events. Would you like to talk about that?
I would. Like I said, life goes on for me. After overcoming the physical, mental, verbal abuse, I get a little bit older, and I start to realize that, you know, hey, things happen. Hey, you know, at this point in my life, I was like, you know what, nothing else can happen to me. But when I was in college, I say around 21, 22 years old, I got introduced to self-development. And like I said, there's a lot of books and tapes and so I come in and things like that. But before I started college, my dad challenged me. He said, you know what, you're not going to graduate from college. So he challenged me at an early age. And so my whole mindset was to prove him wrong that I was going to graduate from college. And I ended up graduating from college. But this was the biggest thing in my life. Well, it was one of the events that changed my life. The day after I graduated from college, I was going home. I was taking my daughter and her mother back home because they had just got through coming to my graduation the day before. And I see these two people on the side of the highway, and it was a young guy and a young lady, and they had ran out of gas. So we stopped the car on the side of the highway. We picked these two people up, and when we tried to get back onto the highway, a drunk driver hit us. And when the drunk driver hit us, the two people that I picked up in my car, they died in my car instantly. And my daughter was thrown from the car also. But this is how God works. When the drunk driver hit us, he kept going. And behind our cars was an undercover paramedic and it was an undercover sheriff. So when the guy hit us and he kept going, the undercover sheriff ran him down. And my daughter, since she was thrown from the car and everything like that, it was an undercover paramedic that was there to help her when I picked her up off the ground. It was an undercover paramedic there right there to help her. But this is what I tell people. When I picked my daughter up initially, she was dead. I said, first thing, you know, she wasn't moving, anything like that. And I had my baby, I had my young daughter in my hand. And I said, God, don't let my daughter die. As soon as I said that, it's like God brought her back to life just like that.
I believe that.
And so,
that's testimony.
So, and so
jubilation.
When I tell people, that's it. So my faith, you know, that was one incident where my faith is on a whole nother level because I look at what I was going through at that moment in that situation, and God spared me. He spared my family. See, he wanted me to come here to have a bigger purpose in life, but the devil was trying to test me so much. You know, I was just listening to T.D. Jakes this morning where, you know, the devil when he sees something great in you, he started to attack you at a young age. And that's what he was doing. He was attacking me in the beginning when I first was born, and then when he knew he couldn't get to me, he started to attack my daughter. And so at an early age, I'm going through all this stuff. I don't know what life is about. I just know that I wanted to inspire people. I wanted to change people. But God was giving me a story to tell people all along.
Okay. I understand that. God saved you. God blessed you. And you believe that the reason God has kept you alive because he has a bigger purpose for you. Okay, I understand that.
Yes, what I try to tell people is that when you look at your struggles, when you look at what you're going through, you know, don't get mad. You know, embrace it. Be glad that you are one of the chosen ones, because as soon as you overcome that, there's a blessing after that.
Okay, yes, I believe that. So even here at 31 years old, you empower the youth. My understanding is that you speak in schools and minister throughout the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Could you talk about some of the places you spoke at?
Yes, I spoke at a couple of
states.
Yes, I've got my start in Dallas, Texas. I'm from Arkansas. That's where I stay at now. But Dallas, Texas is where I was speaking. I was a keynote speaker there every month for the Urban League. And basically, I would go in and motivate the Urban League, people who want to change their life, basically get the GED or just get a high school diploma. So every month, I would go in and motivate them. And plus, in the past, I've been in companies where, or other business where I kind of motivate people who want to make a difference in life. So they might want to make a difference in life for their income or just them just having self-confidence in themselves to believe in them. And so I started with that. I actually go around different organizations, for churches and men's organizations, things like that, and motivate the youth, well, our young African-American males through that. And I also speak at HBCUs, just the general board of men and women with young African-American, because I truly believe that we need more people, we need more voices in this world. And it's enough to go around for everybody, but we need more people to step up. And I feel like my story is a testament of, coming through adversity, but also showing them that, hey, you know what, you can make it. And on the other side of that, after you get through making it, it kind of toughens your skin for success in life. Yeah, so that's what I teach people, and that's my main thing. And I'm so passionate about it because I know where I come from. I know what I've been through. And my main thing in life is to inspire as many people as I can before I leave this earth.
That's wonderful. Okay, so you believe in uplifting people, helping people, that you motivate people and minister to people. I read something about you, some things, but it says you also mentor to youth and young women too, I would hope, because young women are going through hard times now in this day and age and always have. But from what I understand, you mentor youth for depression, crime, drugs, and perhaps even suicide.
Yes. I also went through, like, and it's funny you said, because I went through that period too of wanting to kill myself, but wanting to, you know, depression, the suicidal thought of wanting to take myself out, because I was going through so much heartache at a young age that I didn't know how to handle it. And so I truly believe when God say be still and listen to him, I truly believe that. And I had to be still and actually listen to him and actually ask him, you know, why he chose me to go through all this stuff. And when I tell people my story, you know, it's like initially, like when I first told you a little part of my story, you was like, wow, I never been through nothing like
that. I said I had been through a lot of bad things, but you made me feel a little better because I know I'm not alone. I've been through things in my lifetime that 3, 4, 5, or 6 different women or human beings will go through. Maybe go through the one thing that I've been through, and a second woman or man will go through the second thing I've been through, and the third woman or man would go through the third thing I've been through. I've had a hard life. I've made some choices and decisions that were not good, but this is about you, not about me. So what else would you like to say?
it's about all of us. You know, it's being that voice. You know, people need to tell their story because people need to hear it People need to hear it, and they need to know that people are real. Because you know how some people are, they be successful, and they just tell the good part of, you know, they got the money, the cars, the homes, all that. But people need to hear the struggle just to let people know that they are real. They are human. They go through things. And through my story, I wasn't finished going through it. You know, God was still testing me. After the car accident, the next year after that, we found out my son had cancer. So for 2 years, and my son had to deal with cancer. He had to deal with brain cancer. He had two brain operations, and I'm just going through it as an individual, as a father, and just understanding that, you know what, I just feel like at one time in my life I got mad at God because I was like, it feel like you're picking on me with all this, you know, all this adversity that's hitting my life. But in the midst of it, he was producing miracles. So I had a chance to witness live miracles in my life. And that's why my faith is on a whole nother level, because I've seen God truly work.
Okay. You've seen God truly work. So if you could talk to someone right now of any age, of any sex, of any race, what would you tell them about your life experiences? Let's say you're speaking to three or four people. What will you tell these 3 or 4 people? Even though I know you spoke to hundreds, thousands of people, but if there were just 3 or 4 people, and you could sit down and talk to them directly, what would you say to them about your own life experiences and what you have overcome?
I would say one of two things. The first thing I would tell them is that I believe in you. And when I make that statement, I believe in you, it's basically saying I believe in God, I believe in my dream, and I believe in the person you can become to accomplish that goal and dream. The second thing that I would tell them is, and this is like my own personal quote, is that personal development is the key to life. And what I mean by that is that anybody in this world just don't become successful overnight. You know, it's like when you was a baby, when you was born, you just didn't get up and start walking. It was a process. So every individual, anything that you want to do in this life, you got to work and develop yourself to that person. And when you do that, you truly believe what success is all about, because you know that you didn't get there overnight. It was development. It's one of my favorite quotes by Jim Rohn said. He said, "Teach your children how to make $1 million." He said, "It's not the money that's important, but it's the person who they will become in the process."
So a person with high self-esteem,
yes.
A godly person. Understand?
Yes.
But go ahead and talk.
Just like yourself, you know, with your story and what you've been through. Look at the person you are today. You know, you're an actress, you're a radio host. But it was a process. You didn't get to where you are right now in your life overnight. It was a process. All those things you've been through was developing your self-confidence. It was developing your focus level. It was developing your gratitude level. It was developing you taking 100% full responsibility for your life. And you developed yourself into the person you are now. So people see you, like they say, they see the glory, but they don't know your story.
No,
so
they don't.
Right, and so
you
that would be my thing.
You have to walk a day in a person's shoes to understand actually what they go through. But go ahead, sir.
Right, and that's the thing that I try to tell people with my story, that, hey, when you look at me, I tell you who I am, but I tell you what I learned through while I was going through what I was going through.
Yeah,
and those lessons right there will help any individual, young, old, it doesn't matter. I feel like, you know, especially with the world, you know, what's happening in the world today with the Trayvon Martin, with the Mike Brown, with the Eric Garner, I feel like us as people need to lend a helping hand. And it don't always have to be money. It can just be their knowledge.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the only way we can grow as human beings.
You know, now that you're talking about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, with the 18-year-old Michael Brown Jr., his mother was on television, one of the network news networks, and she said that her son had told her not long, you know, before his death, that his name would be known. He was going to make a difference. And, you know, I thought about Dr. Martin Luther King and his speech, "I Have a Dream," I believe it was, where he said, "I may not make it with you to the promised land, but my eyes have seen the glory." Then I thought of Michael Brown Jr.
Hmm.
It's like Dr. Martin Luther King, to me, was in a way preaching his own eulogy. It's like he had seen it coming. God had revealed it to him. Yeah, I'm not trying to be depressive or anything. I'm just, you know, saying.
Right. Yeah. No, and it takes people like that in this day and time to put their life on the line like that to help the individuals. And like you said, he's seen it for a comment in his life, but he left a lot of good in people. And I think in this day and time, we need to have more people like him and Malcolm X to stand up for our people, but not in a way where it's just causing, you know, riots in the United States, but their knowledge, their voice, actually having a helping hand. Like, you know, like today, I'm going to mentor some youth. It's my voice. It's my time. They see me. You know, it's not just my opinion. They see me. They get to touch me. They can say, this person is real.
Okay.
And I just think we need more people like that in today's world.
Yeah. All right. So I understand what you're saying. What do you think about teenage pregnancy? Now, I understand the teenage pregnancy from the point of view of the young woman, But if you can talk to one young dad when your father says 16, 17 years old, maybe even 18, what would you say to him?
Take full responsibility. That's what I would tell him. You know what you're doing. If you have unprotected sex with a young lady and she get pregnant, well, you kind of already know the outcome because you did what you did. So you have to take full responsibility for what you did. If there's a lot of things out here with protection and anything like that, so you can educate yourself very well, especially with the internet. I mean, you can Google anything for it knowledge wise and be aware of where you at. And so I would just tell a young person, you know what? You know, be careful, but also be aware of what could happen if you do this, if you do that.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So have you wrote any books? Have you authored any books that you may want to tell someone about? Because I'm working on a book, and I got the book back in its completed form. It's got errors in it, and I've got to go back and redo it. And
yeah,
I didn't realize it had that many errors.
Right. That's how mine was, and it's so funny because people, you know, the way we talk, you know, we're from the South. And so
yes.
I feel like one word of advice I would give you is that, you know, sometimes you might have to tweak it just a little bit so that people can understand it in a way that, like me, you have the conversation, because this is real talk. You know, this is nothing scripted. This is real talk.
No, it isn't.
And, right, and so my title of my book is called Your Story Is Not Your Story. I just got to tell you my story, but my story wasn't ever for me. It was to help other people, and that was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was it.
Okay, that was kind of you to say that to me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, cause, oh, trust me. When I first got my book back, oh, I seen so many red marks. I was like, oh, God. And that's where the simplicity come in at. You know, like people like to use big words, but life is not big words. Life is simple. You know, and so the simple way you can relate to your audience, they will understand you.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I was reading something. I don't know who wrote this at all, but it says every day is a gift. That's why we call it the present. That,
mm-hmm.
That's so simple, but so true and so and encouraging.
Right.
Very encouraging. Yes. Extremely encouraging. So we've got 2 minutes left. 2 minutes. So is there anything you would like to say to anyone, you know, about yourself? Because I'm looking at things about you here on different websites. I'm reading what you wrote or what you had written about you, Overcoming Adversity. Do I have your permission to read this?
Yes, yes.
Overcoming Adversity. This is from Lucas L. Armstrong. They say you can always judge the size of a man's character by the size of the obstacle that it takes to overcome him. Lucas Armstrong's triumph of obstacles, even when the odds were against him. His message and true life stories of winning against his deadly encounters with life will encourage, challenge, and uplift any audience. That is beautiful. So God used you, and good, wonderful things have come for you. Now, we've got 1 minute, less than 1 minute. Anything you'd like to say?
My thing to all your audience, all your listeners, is that I believe in you. No matter where you start in life, where you finish, and I just want your listeners to know that I believe in you, and I'm willing to look at a person where they are now and look at them, who they become, and just know that from Lucas Armstrong, for all that I do in life, all that I, you know, inspire the world, I believe in you. So no one ever, if anyone ever told you they believe in you, just know that I believe in you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Lucas Armstrong. Everyone listening, again, this interview is with Mr. Lucas L. Armstrong. His website is www.lucasarmstrong.net. Everybody have a blessed night. Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
No problem.